God will set everything at the end of it. There's a master plan to everything, behind everything that's happening in your life. That gives me a sense of fulfillment. Just doing my part and saying the rest is in the hands of God. Darkness cannot exist without light. We only know it's darkness because we have light, and God was still there from eternity. If we do not have free will, then there's no right for a just God to actually judge his people, because he would be the orchestra of their faith and not them themselves. Therefore, they're not liable to judgment.
Would you say that somebody that's not religious can't attain fulfillment? So, how should I describe you?
I think first and foremost, I would just describe myself as a Christian, to be honest.
And also,
like, the biggest thing in my Christian walk, I think, would be a truth seeker. I think I like seeking the truth. And yeah, I like going into deep conversation and into deep thought of what I believe in. Yeah, I reckon that's what I'll describe myself as.
So in the Discover You podcast, we're all about finding out about more about you and your walk to fulfillment. You describe yourself as a Christian. What does that even mean? Like, these days, anybody saying anything, what does that even mean?
That's true. You do find a lot of people saying they're Christian, but to me, I reckon a Christian, and this is me saying this based on my experience and based on what I've gone through, I reckon to me a Christian is someone that follows Jesus and follows what he set up as a standard of what it means to be Christian. I reckon that's what it would mean to be Christian to me, according to my worldview.
There's multiple different angles I could really go.
Yeah.
To follow Jesus.
Hmm.
Jesus is what? As a man that lived 2,000 years ago? Or, like, who is this Jesus? Like, I know the whole world talks about Jesus this, Jesus that.
Mm.
But maybe I don't really believe in Jesus. Maybe the Jesus that we're talking about is not the same Jesus that everybody's seeing. Maybe everybody has a different perception of what Jesus is.
Yeah, that's actually true. There's a lot of people in this world walking around claiming that they actually follow him and they believe in him, but to me, God sees us based on what he's given us, yeah?
Mm.
Based on the knowledge he's given us about him. So if I know Jesus this much, that means I have to follow him this much. That's what God wants from me. There might be someone who knows Jesus less than me, but God still wants them to be following Jesus based on what they know of him. And yeah, as me wanting to know more, it's kind of the drive and the hunger to know God this much and follow him this much. So yeah, you must always seek to follow God based on how much you know of him. I reckon that's what it would mean to be Christian. So as much as I know of you, of God, that's how much I'm following, and I can call myself Christian on that.
So really, someone in Alaska, someone in Germany, whatever, that doesn't maybe do the same thing you do, but just has a belief system that aligns with the word God, or whatever, or Jesus, if you're using that word, could purely say, hey, I'm a follower. And you couldn't stand up and say, no, you're not.
I don't think I have the authority to say who and who isn't Christian in that case, as long as the sincerity. I like this one verse that Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5. He says, blessed are those who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. So blessed are the people who are wanting to know God more. And I admit that there are people who do want to know God more, but there might be something hindering, and you know, there's some parts of the world that maybe you don't have the means to actually get to know God. You're living in a country that doesn't allow you to, or just a lack of resources to actually like find out more. But you must always try to follow God to the best of your ability. I reckon that's all. That goes to a lot of areas also in life. Like, as long as you're doing the best of your ability, I reckon God wants us to be doing that.
So the Discover You podcast is all about fulfillment, and And there's multiple different people coming on here with different different walks of life, really.
Yeah.
And what I want to find out personally is whether you think the God path is the path to fulfillment.
Mm.
Is it?
That's a good question. That's a good question because you do meet a lot of people, even in even some Christians, you meet them and I don't think they inspire, they give you a worldview of that they are fulfilled in their walk with God. And but to me, I would say that, yeah, you do find fulfillment in walking as a Christian. You would find fulfillment.
Well, what actually is your definition of fulfillment? As we're even talking about fulfillment, what's your definition of fulfillment?
Mm, that's actually a good question. I like that.
Have you had a thought about that before?
I probably have, but probably vaguely, to be honest. But I would say the joy in the Lord, to be honest. The resting that God will set everything. God is in control. And God, at the end of it, there's a master plan to everything, behind everything that's happening in your life, in people's life, and in the whole world, to be honest. That, I reckon that gives me a sense of fulfillment. Just doing my part as a Christian and saying the rest is in the hands of God.
What do you mean doing your part? What's your part?
So my part is since like I became a Christian, having that drive to go and tell other people about Christ, going out there and actually sharing and actually following the rest of what Jesus actually taught, that fills me with fulfillment. At the end of the day, you'll come back and you say, I've actually planted the seed today. I've actually helped someone out today. I reckon that shows fulfillment.
So for you, what I'm hearing is,
mm-hmm.
for you, fulfillment comes, you've taken the angle of religion to attain to that state of fulfillment. So would you say that somebody that's not religious can't attain fulfillment? Is religion a necessity? Is do you have to be religious to feel fulfilled? Because you said for you, fulfillment literally only comes from that channel.
Okay. Yeah, that's, I mean, there are other people who would say, hey, I feel very fulfilled in my life. I've done this, I've planted this, I've built that house, I've accomplished this. Yes, you feel fulfilled, but the fulfillment that God gives us transcends even the feelings of the body and the satisfaction of your mind. It's the feeling that even your soul, is the feeling that your soul is also fulfilled. You know that there is someone out there. You know that you're building towards an eternal plan. You're a part of God's eternal plan and God's eternal kingdom. Something, you're building something bigger than yourself.
Building something bigger than yourself.
If you really want to find true fulfillment in life, in my opinion, you have to be building something that will transcend even you. You have to build something that's bigger than yourself. Because if my sense of fulfillment will be just me, I don't think you'll ever find true fulfillment in life like that. But if you're building something that transcends you and transcends what you can't see and what you can touch, I reckon that would be true fulfillment.
Would you say at the current stage of your life right now, would you say you're fulfilled?
I would say, yeah. I would say I'm...
You know what? We'll put it...
To be honest. What?
We'll put it in a number form. Let's put it in a number form. Out of 10. As 10 being greatness of fulfillment, right now I feel absolutely fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And as 0 being, I'm like on the complete other side.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you sitting?
I'll put myself as an 8.
As an 8?
Yeah.
You're saying fulfillment is coming from something, from doing something that's bigger than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you doing right now that's bigger than yourself?
Definitely working for God's kingdom. And that's ensuring God's word to people, and definitely being able to have that grace to actually help out others and see like Christ work through you.
But that's an illusion.
How is that an illusion?
Just think about it. It's an illusion, right?
How would you say?
Because like you've defined that right now you're working for God's kingdom, right? It's a definition you've come up with. Right?
It's not a definition I've come up with. That's what I say Christ would define as working for his kingdom.
So it's still, like, think about it. As a human being, you've looked at reality and be like, hey, look, this is what I reckon is a noble way of living, and this is what I think it means. And so you've accredited a level of importance to what you do. Think about it. If we're looking about it, the nature of reality is through your consciousness, you've said, hey, look, I rate this style of living at 8 out of 10. I rate this style of thinking at 9 out of 10. And your style of thinking that you reckon brings forth fulfillment is that you've sat down and then you've picked up obviously information from your senses. And then now you're saying, you're like, hey, look, from the information I've picked up, I believe, right? I believe that this style of living is noble. It's greater than another style of living. And you're talking about, hey, I'm doing things for God's kingdom, and that's bringing you a sense of fulfillment and peace.
Yeah.
Right? But really, you believe in God's kingdom, but you don't know anything about God's kingdom. You know what I'm saying? Do you agree? Do you disagree? Like, to say you believe in a higher power, the concept of believing itself means that you don't know.
You don't have 100% guarantee.
Yeah.
And that's where I would say that the faith also has to come in. It's not just believing that you don't know. It's believing based on the evidence that I have seen. Then I have put my trust in it, that this is what God is, or this is what God wants me to be doing. So it's the faith as well that accompanies what you believe and what you have seen as the evidence of that. That's what I would say is believing.
Yeah, but isn't faith the evidence of things not seen? So how can you say you're believing from things you've seen? As a question,
It's good. Nah, I like that. Nah, but there is evidence of God all around us, to be honest. All we have to do is just open our eyes as well to it. You see God working in mysterious ways all around us. And like, even for me, like, that's why I even became like someone who likes to know the truth and actually like seeking it. Because God had worked for me, and there was some times in my life I had doubt of that he even existed, or I said, nah, sometimes God doesn't exist. I said that, and it took searching, and it took, it took diligent search and honesty and sincerity to actually get to a point that I would say, now I actually believe in God.
It took that. The element of believing in the existence of God, right? You've said you've looked at nature. And then you've looked and said,
oh, and you look at, I don't think we should always cast off the testimony of the people who have claimed that they had seen it as well, just because it's their testimony as well.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And I think that there's an element of truth, because the way the world is structured as a whole always seems to have that yin and yang, that up and down, that the opposite sides, you know what I'm saying? There's always an opposite That's nature true. To reality. There's a whatever action creates reaction and so forth. There's always an opposite side to reality, to opposite ends to different parts of reality. And so, like in a religious mindset, there's the heaven and there's the hell. And if we say there's a God, there has to be a Satan.
Yeah.
Well, could we even say that? Is it possible to it just to be a God and never and not an evil side?
Nah, there definitely is an evil at the end. I mean, we see it all over the world. Just as you step outside these very doors, like, and you would see all the evil and the chaos and genuinely see that the world is not perfect. I reckon if you could see that there's the evil in the world, you would definitely be able to see then there must be a good. Yes, God can exist by himself. God can exist and there not be Satan, but they can never just be Satan and God doesn't exist. They can never just be evil and no good.
Why but, not?
Because you can't have darkness if there's never been a light. You get that? You can't just have chaos if there was never anything built. Yeah? So there had to be something built for there to now be chaos. So you can't just start off with chaos. That's why Satan wasn't the person that made the world and he was actually good. It started off good first and then now it's turned on to chaos, but God says he's going to restore it. But you can't just start with chaos because chaos can... You can't just have...
Well, I don't understand why not.
Because you would not
like,
know...
It doesn't affect the initial verses and like in the Bible and stuff starts with darkness?
Yeah, it does, but...
Before light comes in?
That's not... that's before creation is done. But God is still there as the presence of that light in the...
But it's in darkness.
In that chaos. Yeah, but...
And then we still, say, let it be light.
We only know it's darkness because we have light and God was still there from eternity.
Or is that the other way? We only know it's light because we have darkness.
Darkness cannot exist without light.
Okay,
because you would know...
Light cannot exist without
light,
darkness.
You can still have...
Think about a void, right? Mm-hmm. If you have a void of space,
mm-hmm.
it's naturally dark.
Yeah, yeah.
It's usually dark.
Yeah, it's dark.
And then light is what's standing out in the darkness.
Yeah, but you've heard that it's darkness is the absence of light and not an entity or, and not like itself. So like if that light is brighter than that light, I would say that light is darker than this light, right?
Yeah.
But I would never say that darkness is darker, is less than that this darkness.
Yeah.
So darkness would be the absence of light.
So if darkness is the absence of light, doesn't that support what I'm saying? If darkness is the absence of light, light is.
But you can never start with darkness, though.
Why not? I don't understand why we can't start with darkness.
Because you gotta have the contrast to it in order to show that it is that. I need to know the law in order to know what's illegal, right? Mm-hmm. I need to know what's legal in order to know what's illegal.
Mm.
Or else it's just a norm. Or else it's just what happens. I can't call something evil unless I know what something good is.
Maybe the battle between darkness and light is the norm. Maybe that's how it's supposed to be.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be fair. And we could demonstrate it. Based on what we see, that we see evil and good everywhere.
Maybe they have to coexist. Maybe you actually can't get, you can't get any, the evil can't exist without light, and light can't exist without darkness. Like, evil can't exist without good, really, that's what I mean. Evil can't exist without good, and good can't exist without evil. You need both sides of the coin. Like, you don't see people walking around with fronts and no backs. You know what I'm saying? Like
that analogy is a bit. If you bring it like that, it's a bit.
You can't have a left and not have a right. You can't have an up and not have a down.
Yeah, then it's just the other. Yeah,
because up implies down, and down implies up, and left implies right. So in that sense, that rivalry, that duality, really, that's what I'm looking for. That duality is the nature of reality.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If duality is the nature of reality, then where does fulfillment fit in that? Would you say that fulfillment is having a bit of both? Being able to balance darkness and the light in you?
Finding the darkness. Or
being able to accept the darkness and the light in you? Is actually what fulfillment looks like in a grand scheme of things.
Yeah, I reckon there's a bit of that, to be honest. That wouldn't be a bad proposition, knowing how evil you can be and knowing what potential you have to do actually good in the world. I reckon that would bring a level of honesty and definitely fulfillment. That is a good way of seeing it, to be honest. And yeah, but in the case of darkness needing light and light needing darkness, I don't think there's a need to have darkness in order to have light. You can still act good even though there's no evil there. You get that? So you can still have something
good. Yeah, but you actually can't.
You actually can.
You can't do any good to somebody unless they know otherwise. Think about it. That's how they're contrasting it. That's how they're seeing that what you're doing is good.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're serving somebody and they're like, oh, that's so good. Mm-hmm. It means that somebody that didn't serve them in the past. It means they have an experience where they didn't get served.
I mean,
the service.
We all know in the world, we all have that experience of knowing that this is good and this is bad. God looks and he says it is good. Would you say that that's good existing before evil? And God said it was good, even though man at that point didn't know that what good and evil was. They only know what was good. They can only see the good garden that God had created.
Yeah, but think about it. Like his first statement, his last statement, it was a realization that it's good. Mm. But his first statement was a realization that it's darkness.
That there'd be light.
Like he looked upon and what he saw, what the first thing he saw was darkness.
Well, I would say
the first thing he saw was darkness.
God is light. God holds. God is light. God illuminates. The Spirit of God illuminated over the waters. The Bible says, right? So there was that light in the start of the creation. God was still there at the start of it. So he himself is light.
Yes.
Even in the midst of unformness and nothing being formed and void, there was still that light there in the midst of that.
So in people, let's talk about people.
Mm.
Right, in people, there's a measure of goodness and darkness in them.
Definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
People are a balance of both. And in every single created individual has a good in them, has a bad in them. Even the worst people in the world have
potential to do good.
Potential to do good.
Yeah.
And so, do you feel like we have potential to do good and we also have potential to do bad?
Yeah.
What determines how somebody turns out? If you've got an equal amount of good in you and equal amount of bad in you, what determines which side you take?
The biggest factors in our lives is mainly the environments that we grow up on and the kind of input we're getting as we're actually growing.
Yeah.
And also, just our free will at the end of the day, but the environment first, like, based on what you see around you is what most likely you're going to turn out to be. So, if I only ever see bloodshed and chaos and that, it's going to take a lot of effort in my part to actually overcome that and actually want to be something different from that. But most likely, the people that you grew up with around those parts or around those environment, they're most likely going to stick to the status quo of that place. So it's we're all a product of the environment that we grew up in.
So,
like you would see a photo of where I come from just by looking at me.
Okay, so here's the question I have to ask because of that mm-hmm. question. So you started your sentence by saying we all have free will.
Mm-hmm.
Do we though?
We definitely do.
Do you believe that humans have free will?
I believe that humans have free will. And I would say that there are some paradox in like philosophy that says we don't have free will and it's all a product of like already predetermined, but I believe, and based on what I read also in the Bible, I would say we actually do have free will.
How so? Because
I would explain that if we do not have free will, then there's no right for a just God to actually judge his people, because he would be the orchestra of their fate and not them themselves. Therefore, they're not liable to judgment. So, yeah.
So, here's where it gets tricky.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you never decided which family you're going to be born in.
Agreed.
You never decided who what your environment was going to look like where you're going to be born. You didn't decide the subconscious pattern that was going to be installed in you. You didn't decide the traumas you're going to be born with from the environment, obviously your parents and so forth. So why do you suddenly have to decide? Like you, your whole entire foundation was decided for you.
Yeah, a starting basis.
And then so what at what age did the power get switched to you?
I mean, when you become self-aware, I reckon
that's... What age is that?
Yeah, I don't think I could genuinely point a finger on it, but you would be able to tell that when you realize that you are actually a person and you're actually making choices, I reckon that's when you realize you become like accountable to those choices.
Yeah, but it's not your choice. The first maybe 17, even looking at society in its whole, like if you live under your parents, really, you're not going to make your own decision until you're probably 14, 15.
You're still making your own choices on a lot of things, man. Even if you're living on...
fundamentals. Okay, not the fundamentals.
Not where, like, where you're going to eat or what you're going to do, but you're still making the choices, let's say, when you're a kid, like, I shouldn't say this, I shouldn't steal that, I shouldn't take that from this person, I shouldn't go and bully my friends at school. You're still making those choices.
Here's what I heard from listening to I think it was another podcast, and someone was putting down a theory of a lot of the things that we do come from subconscious patterns, right? And the idea of subconscious patterns is that there's belief systems that have been placed into your mind from a young age that makes you act the way you act. Right? If the decisions, if those patterns and those traumas make you act the way you act, let's say you got traumatized from falling off a motorbike when you were young, and from now on you're really scared of motorbikes. Like, there's a huge phobia around that. And so when you end up, when you're growing up, all the decisions you're making is to try to keep yourself safe.
And avoid the...
Those decisions aren't really your decisions. It's the decisions made by your fears. Right? Your fears and your traumas and your subconscious patterns. So you're making decisions, but you're not really making decisions. The decisions are making you.
That's true.
Well, if that's the case, and I'm not going against people taking responsibility for what they've done, 100%. I'm just saying, hey... Maybe it's not as black and white as we think.
It's not black and white. Everyone's case is... We can't go as far as to say that there is no free will. Yes, those things are happening to you, but it is your responsibility.
Hold on. What is free?
Okay.
What is free?
What is free is the ability to choose in any given situation what to do. That is freedom.
But your subconscious patterns have already locked you down.
But are you saying that people can never overcome their subconscious patterns and we should just be...
Do you know how much work it takes to overcome one, not even a subconscious, habit. Habit.
We started this statement on saying that...
Okay.
We started it on saying that everyone has the potential to do good or to do bad.
Yes. So it's a potential.
It's not guaranteed. It's guaranteed that I have the potential to do good or bad, right? So I have that strength to choose, even no matter what has happened to me in life. And I'm sure you would agree with me that Paul, to his letter to the Romans, says, if the Gentiles who know not the law, but do those things that are written in the law, they become a law to themselves based on the law that's written in their hearts, right? You know that verse.
So what's the law that's written in somebody's heart?
You at least know that.
Is that so? When you're saying there's a law written in somebody's heart, are you talking about their conscience?
Yeah, yeah. You have that conscience. The conscience tells you stealing is at least wrong.
At least wrong.
It's wrong. Yes. Because if we give that. Torturing something or torturing things or breaking down or burning down stuff, that's wrong.
But
you know that. I don't need to. I never have to go in and actually teach you that law. I could walk into a classroom of little kids and say, "Is stealing wrong?" And I'm pretty sure that 99% of them would say yes, stealing is wrong.
But here's where it gets tricky, because as humans, like I've spoken before, you can really find ways to justify your reality,
Agreed. That's
right?
true. That's true.
The idea of being a complainer, it means that you might not think you're in the right place, but you find something that can justify that reality. Like
Agreed.
if I
And I think
steal
it's a good
something,
survival mechanism
yeah.
too.
Well, if I steal something, but my belief system is, hey, they stole $1 million off me, suddenly I can justify that, and it can feel right to me. It can feel just. I could say, hey, they stole so much from me. This is like payback. This is me getting back at them, or this is me equaling the playing field. And suddenly I feel good about my action, because I can justify it with what somebody else has done for me, done to me. Right? And isn't that the problem with 99% of the families? Is, oh, my dad did this, my mom did this to me, and then so therefore I'm doing this. Therefore I'm doing that. How many of our decisions come because somebody did something to us?
A lot of them, to be honest, a lot of them. But
So what, like even that kills free will.
It's not killing
Because it's
free
an
will
external, it's an
because
influence from an external factor.
I'm blaming the. I'm blaming the action that happened to me, and then putting it on something else that I could be doing, and I have it in my power. So I read a book not long ago that said it's not my fault that that thing happened to me, but it definitely is my responsibility on what I do afterwards. I had no control of what happened in the past to me, but it is my responsibility going forward on what I do with that. So you can you I think a lot of us it's safe to say that I'm feeling down, therefore I'm gonna go do this wrong thing because so and so did this wrong thing to me. Let me go and pay it back to someone else. But no, yes, it's not your fault that they did that to you, but it's definitely your responsibility on what you do in what you do afterwards with that. We're all gonna go through traumatic experiences, but it's gonna be our responsibility to deal with it and what we do with it that actually matters. So
So
you
the
still have the free will. Your free will will still be tied to that, and the free will to do what happens after that.
Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed our content, please follow us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and TikTok. And if you really want to support us, please support us on Patreon, Subscribestar, and Crypto. I personally want to say thank you to all of you that are following us. And I want to make a promise that if you follow us, if you subscribe to our channel, that we will keep producing the best, highest form of quality content to add value to your life and help you find fulfillment in life. Thank you.